welcome the kids with us today. It's a fifth family Sunday. Worshiping with families it's a great experience. So welcome to you, and welcome to our friends who are watching on Facebook or the website. If you're traveling and not able to join us, that's a great way to check in and stay connected. So we welcome that audience as well. So here we are. We survived Christmas. We survived a big winter storm, our first true big winter storm. And we're looking to the next big thing, which is New Year's. We're looking at 2019. I remember 2000. We're 19 years from that. I was only 3, of course, when 2000 came. So anyway, give me a show of hands. How many people look forward to a new year? Quite a few hands out there. There's something to be said for just starting over. That cycle is beautiful. Is there anybody who dreads the new year? I thought I might see some kids' hands go up, because kids, the new year means you have to go back to school. Sorry. Parents, the kids have to go back to school. So with New Year's, oftentimes we also think of New Year's resolutions. And to be honest with you, New Year's resolutions don't really work for me. This idea of I'm going to try harder. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do more of this. I'm going to do less of that. It just doesn't work for me. So in our family, we set goals. We'll sit down this week and set some goals for the new year. Now, maybe you say that's the same thing. It doesn't matter. Whatever. It works for us. Some people like to choose a word, just one word that they hope will represent what the new year will bring. So last year, as we were coming in to 2018, I accidentally chose a word. Actually, it was given to me for 2018. I wasn't looking for a word, but let me give you a little backstory of how that happened. My husband Jeff, my two beautiful daughters, we moved to South Dakota, to Madison, in 2014. We came from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And for the first 3 years, we lived and worked out at Camp Lakota. And at the same time, we were trying to sell our house in Michigan, 600 miles away. So depending on friends, all kinds of people to help us out. And those first three years were challenging, to be sure, but 2017 was especially difficult. For about 7 months, we lived on this good news, bad news roller coaster. So it started in February. We got a call from the realtor that we had a buyer. Good news! We were excited. We finally could sell this house. 10 days before closing in April, the realtor called us back with bad news. There was flooding in the basement. Okay, good news, it could be fixed. Bad news, it cost a lot of money. Good news, in June, we had another buyer. Bad news, when they looked at the house and decided to buy it, there was still water in the basement, or there was water again, I should say. So it ended with good news. Finally, in August, the house sold. So that was good news. That ride was over. In the midst of all of that, 7 months, Jeff and I were both changing jobs. We had to move to a different house. We actually tried to buy 3 houses in Madison, but every time we got bad news from Michigan, we had to back out. So we finally ended up in the house that we now own. And so as 2017 came to a close, and we just kind of took a breath, I wasn't really looking for a word, but as I was praying one day, the word stability came to my mind. Now, what does that word mean to you? I asked my friends on Facebook to give me a little feedback last week on what that word meant, and some people cut right to the chase and said, God and Jesus. Absolutely, not going to argue, God and Jesus are the ultimate source of stability. Some people talked about stability being structure. And maybe that was in a physical structure, as in a building, or maybe more of a structure in schedule and predictability. Some people referenced some more abstract concepts like peace, hope, and faith. That's what stability brought to their mind. So when I thought about that word, when it first came to my mind a year ago, and I thought stability, I thought, yeah, this even keel, lack of disruption, not getting knocked down, no more good news, bad news roller coaster. So I thought, man, if my year, 2018, could have a lack of disruption, if it could be free of these life-altering crises, that would be a good year, right? That's what we all would hope for. So I looked up the definition because I thought, what does stability mean? I was blown away by what God showed me in this single word. So let's look at this definition of stability. The property of a body that causes it, when disturbed from a condition of equilibrium or steady motion, to develop forces or moments that restore the original condition. Isn't that inspiring? You're like, whatever. This first definition that I found of stability is really based on physics. Full disclosure, I never took physics, but I did a crash course on Google, and I'm going to share some things and get a little bit scientific this morning. So if you're still in a sugar coma from too many Christmas cookies, or you drank a little bit too much eggnog, hang in there with me. This is truly fascinating, and I'm going to break this down for you. And this is where my friend Tony gets to help. So we're going to look at the one word for now in that definition, and the word equilibrium. And to really break that down, it's just balance. And so my friend Tony, the tiger, when he is standing here, he is stable. He's in a state of equilibrium. Everything is right in his world. Don't we want to be like that? And he can do that due to his center of gravity. Now, his center of gravity, if you know about these punching, popping bags, he's got a little pocket of water in the bottom that you can't see. Science tells us that the lower the center of gravity, the more stable the object. Now, Tony himself, he's made of plastic, and he's full of air. So he's not the iconic picture of stability, right? Nobody said when they thought about stability, they thought of this inflatable bopping bag. But here's the thing, is that the object by himself, he can't create stability. He's not stable by himself because it comes from what's inside that makes him stable. And oftentimes it's not visible. You can't see his little pocket of water down there. We think about trees. I mean, we have a Christmas tree still in our house. Who knows when it will come down? If we brought that tree from the woods, if we put it, just set it in the house, it's not going to stand upright on its own, right? It's not stable by itself because it didn't have its root system. So we have to create a new sense of stability and put it in a stand and all that jazz. Buildings in and of themselves are not stable, but we build foundations that connect them and ground them to the earth. And we can't see the roots of the tree. We can't see the foundation of a building. And here's where it gets personal. I myself am not stable, and I cannot create stability. It comes from the inside. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the only true center of gravity for our lives that can help us create stability. And without him, we will be unstable. And more than that, Christ must be rooted deep within us. Not just kind of tacked on the side or attached with a handbag or thrown on top. Because remember, science says the lower the center of gravity, the more stable the object. And so the life of Christ in us must be rooted deep in us. We're going to look at a passage of scripture this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. To me, it's all about stability, but the word isn't actually in that passage. So as we look at what Paul says, verses 6 and 7 is where we'll start. For God who said, let there be light in the darkness. That goes back to Genesis 1, right? He has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. And we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our power is from God and not from ourselves. The fact remains, we are fragile, like my friend Tony. The fact that a plastic bag full of air can stand upright makes it clear that there is something inside of him allowing him to stand up. And hopefully our lives will reveal that same power. Because we have this treasure. Before I back out, let me just, if you're taking notes, I've got a couple of points for you. And the first point is that stability allows us to stand up. So when we rely on God's power in us, we are able to stand. And Paul talked in this passage about this treasure. He also called it a light. And so we need to understand a little bit, you know, what is he referring to? Because we need to establish that, do we have this light and this treasure in us, as he's talking about? Because this is the premise of stability. And he says the treasure, which he also calls the light, in verse 4, it's the glorious light of the good news. In the next verse, you say, what is the good news? The good news, he says, is that Jesus Christ is Lord. So this treasure that we have inside of us comes when we have asked Jesus Christ to be our Lord. Jesus, whose birth we just celebrated, we ask him to be our Lord. We surrender our lives, give up our lives, lay our lives down so that his power can be revealed in us. That's stability. And we can only have one center of gravity. This from James chapter 1 talks about this as well. It kind of talks about what life throws at us. And in verse 5, he says, if you need wisdom, ask God. And then in verse 6, he says, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. That's a harsh warning, isn't it? Their loyalty is divided between God and the world. And hear this, they are unstable in all they do. God alone, we can only have one center of gravity, cannot be divided. And when we rely on that, we're able to stand up. Maybe you don't feel like you can stand up right now. Maybe you feel a little bit more unstable. I want to encourage you in these days to come, as we look at this new year, to consider, is the power and the life of Jesus in you? Have you made that surrender? Maybe you did at one time, and maybe it shifted a little bit, and you need to kind of recenter and resurrender again. Take this opportunity in a new year to start with a strong center of gravity based on Jesus Christ. Because stability allows us to stand up. More than that, stability allows us to stand up again and again and again and again. This is where it gets fascinating to me. Stability, contrary to what I thought a year ago, is not static. It's not this unchanging sense of peacefulness all the time. It can be. Everything can be right in our world when we are standing in this state of equilibrium. But let's look at the definition of stability again. The property of a body that causes it, when disturbed from a condition of equilibrium or steady motion, to develop forces or moments that restore the original condition. So stability is not merely the fact that Tony is able to stand up. That is part of it. But it is the property that allows him, when he's disturbed, to stand up again. Has your life ever been disturbed? Have your plans ever changed because of forces outside of your control? These kinds of disturbances can and do happen, and quite regularly, more often than we would like. But the disturbances themselves do not create instability. We're going to look at our 2 Corinthians passage again and see that it is possible to remain stable in the face of difficulty. And Paul centers it back to the life of Jesus within us. He says this in verses 8 to 11. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus might also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. Paul suffered persecution, imprisonment, shipwreck, abandonment, beatings. He was repeatedly in danger. Would you call the Apostle Paul an unstable person? In the face of those disturbances, he clung to the life of Jesus in him, and that allowed him to stand up again. Because physics will tell us that even when an object is tilted on its side, it is considered stable. Not because of the position, but because of its ability to return to its original position. So for Paul, when he faced disturbances, the life of Christ allowed him to return to his original position. And for him, that went back to the purpose. God had called him and created him to share the light and the life of Christ with the world. And so that is what Paul returned to. He wanted the life of Jesus to be evident to others. And so his stability benefited others. And so here's another cool thing about stability. Stability allows others to stand up with us. I saw this in some of the comments that people left when I asked them on Facebook about what they thought stability meant. Some people said being able to count on someone. Some people mentioned their spouse. What a beautiful picture of two people sharing the power and the life of Christ in them, standing up together when life knocks them down. We come back to our passage in 2 Corinthians 4, in verses 12 to 15. Paul says about him and his other co-laborers for Christ, he said, "So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, 'I believed in God, so I spoke.' We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you." All of us standing up together before Christ. And he says, all of this, referring to his perplexion, his being hunted down, all of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. Paul's disturbances almost killed him more than once, but his stability through that resulted in eternal life for others as it pointed them to Jesus, and it allowed others to stand up with him. So stability helps others. We know that the opposite is true and that instability can hurt others. Some of us maybe have been hurt by unstable families, unstable people in our lives, unstable circumstances, people who weren't submitting and surrendering to the power of Christ in them. So I want you to think about a boat that encounters rough water. So a boat's out on the water. It can be a big boat, small boat, whatever it might be, and it encounters rough water. If the boat is stable through that rough water, lives are saved. If the boat is not stable, lives are hurt and even lost. So if our life is like a boat, and we're on that boat with other people in our lives, people around us, how would stability in your life, meaning the power and the life of Christ in you, how would your stability affect the other people on the boat? And does that make the disturbances of life worth it for you? It did for Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we go on to read verses 16 to 18. He said, "That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things that we cannot see will last forever." This center of gravity, this life of Christ in us cannot be seen. And Paul was well aware of that his body was fragile and dying, but the life of Christ in him allowed him to look past the troubles that he could see. Every day, he experienced a renewal. Day by day, he said. Not just on New Year's Day, trying to get a new start, not just on a Sunday morning, but every day he pressed in, leaned in, surrendered, relied on, clung to the power, the life of Jesus Christ in him. And he was renewed. This idea of renewal, we sometimes also use the word restoration to mean the same thing. And we find the word restore in our definition of stability. So we'll go back to that one more time. Stability is the property of a body that causes it, when disturbed from a condition of equilibrium or steady motion, to develop forces or moments that restore the original position. Moments that restore. Well, that brings to mind a really sweet picture, doesn't it? We love moments of restoration. But it's a physics term. I love how science reflects the nature and the glory of God, because physics says that a restoring moment, well, first of all, it's actually pretty technical, and it has this fancy formula that probably takes an engineer to figure it out, because I, like, tried to pull it apart and figure it out, and I couldn't do it. But I'm going to break it down for you, because an object like Tony, when he is disturbed, he will pivot around his center of gravity. Sorry, he's not working quite right now. He will pivot around this center of gravity, creating a restoring moment which will return the object to its vertical position, where the weight, his center of gravity, is directly above the pivot point. And here's what science says: the object will be at rest. That's where we want to end up after disturbances, isn't it? Directly above the life of Christ and being at rest. So when he's knocked over, this thing that's happening between starting out here in the state of equilibrium and all this movement until he's able to come back to it, that's all called moments of restoration. I love that picture. Because we all want that restoration. We want to return to that original position. And we can. Now, Paul talks about these disturbances and these troubles, and he says that they're small and temporary, but don't let that undermine the fact and minimize the fact that suffering is suffering, and heartache is heartache, and losing someone that we will never be able to talk to again is hard. But that makes those restoring moments all the more powerful. We find this same idea again in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. "In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ." This is that center of gravity. "So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and will place you on a firm foundation." Bring us back to that place of rest. And I believe that original condition that we come back to is that for which we were created. God has created you with something specific and unique to you, something, a purpose that he has for you. And when you can come back to that, those disturbances help clarify that and bring that back. So how did 2018 turn out for me? Was it a year of stability? I will say yes, but not the way that I thought it was going to be. For me, 2018, you know, thinking going into this year was going to be smooth and no disturbances, And then we had two staff transitions at Living Hope Church. Those are disturbances. But as a church, I believe we remained stable through those because we didn't lose sight of the power of Christ and the message that he gives to us. And what that did for me personally, to experience that with all of you, confirmed, brought me back to my original condition, the purpose for which I was created. And God confirmed in me to lead his people and to do that in the church. So those disturbances become a blessing. So I will offer my definition of stability to you. It is the power of Christ within that allows me, when disturbed, to return to my created purpose through a series of restoring moments. As you go into 2019, how would you write your own definition of stability? How would you write a definition of stability for your family? It's a little bit of a different twist. Some of you own or manage businesses. And in the business world, stability is a really good word, right? We all want a stable business. But how does this definition change that perspective for your business? My wish and my prayer for you is not only that you will have a happy new year, but that you will have a year of stability. Not the static stability, but that you will have the power of Christ within you so that when you face those disturbances that I guarantee you will come, you will be able to return to your created purpose through a series of restoring moments. So happy new year. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we cling to you. We know that we need to cling to you. And as we look at a new year and we don't know what disturbances are going to come, we take this moment to make you our center of gravity, to reach out to you, to be renewed today, but every day, so that we can go out with this light, this treasure in us, and we can let the world see the life of Jesus in us, and many people will be able to stand with us as we proclaim your glory and your greatness. Thank you for the hope that we have, that we will be able, through disturbances of life, that with you at our center, we can be restored and put back on a firm foundation. In Jesus' name, we give ourselves to you. Amen.